Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is. Thank you for tuning into the show. And to new people who are listening to the show. Welcome aboard. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting from Chicago, Illinois. It's a lot of stuff going on in this town, baby. I'm going to tell you, thanks for being here. Thanks for downloading the programs. Thanks for archiving and whatever you do to listen to the program. Thanks for listening at your own convenience. And also thanks for listening live. And it's a great time in Chicago. And I want to say daylight saving time is coming up on Sunday. And they're talking about heart attacks. So you guys be careful out there. They're saying that at least 2 days after you set your clocks, you spring forward, okay? And heart attacks and strokes and all of these things can happen to some people, not everybody. But it also pays to exercise, eat right, stay away from the caffeine, you know, and try not to get yourself stressed. You just might make it through, okay? And people with diabetes, certain kind of diseases, they are the ones who are, some of them are the ones who are most affected by this. If you're suffering from some sort of ailment already, but one of the things you'd want to do, exercise, get yourself in some shape so your heart doesn't stop on you, okay? And or that you may not have a stroke. You don't want to have a stroke. So those are a few tips. I even taking advantage of some of these tips myself, but everybody should heed, okay? And we want you to be around for a long time because we want you right here as a listener to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio, broadcasting live out of Chicago. All right, let's move right along. My guest, author Cherry Rickard. She will not be on the show tonight. She will not be here, folks. She sent me an email saying that she was in a car accident. And she's so, so sorry that she can't make it. So I emailed her back and I told her, you know, all the best. If she has been in a car accident, I'm saying if because people do fabricate, but you know, something like that you don't fabricate. So, and all my best, and I wish her well in her recovery, full recovery. But we have to move on. We have to go on. So I'm letting you guys know out there, if you're respecting Cherry Rickard on the George Wilder Jr. Show, she will not be here. I'm sort of disappointed, but I know things happen. I've said this in a lot of shows. I said sometimes guests will show, sometimes things will happen, and they will not show. And I want my audience to be ready for those type of things. But anyway, you know, now you got me, okay? 347-857-1762, George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Block Talk. Follow me right here. Follow me Facebook, LinkedIn. I'm all over the place. Google. You put my name in there, it comes up. So, author Cherry Rickard will not be on the show tonight. So let's move right along. Let's move right along. A lot of people are talking about Donald Trump and his violent rallies. I mean, if you've seen the latest one where one of his supporters gets out of control and just whacks this guy, blindsides some guy leaving the event because Donald Trump ordered this guy, African-American, to leave the event. I mean, it's all over the internet. It's all over the television. It's everywhere. It's national news. So if you're into this kind of thing, you probably didn't miss it. But we all know that Donald Trump's rallies are violent. And some of the violence, Donald Trump himself, he is encouraging some of this stuff. The guy who slugged this young man, one of Donald Trump's supporters, the guy who hit this young man, he's a supporter of Donald Trump. And the guy is 78 years old. 78 years old, but he threw a punch that knocked the young man down. And when I saw the video, I'm wondering, why didn't the police or the security guards tackle the guy who hit this young man instead of tackling the young man as if the young man was the perpetrator? He was not. He was innocent. It was only later until they took this old man away in handcuffs. And you know what? The guy, this 78-year-old man, I'm going to find out his name pretty soon. He looked into the camera. This guy looked into the television camera, the television lens, and I quote, he's saying, "Next time we might kill him." Wow. This is the kind of stuff that's going on at a Donald Trump rally, and he's supposed to be in Chicago at the University of Illinois, UIC. And the students there say they don't want him, but he's going to show up anyway. So they are gearing up for violence, you know. But this is crazy. I mean, Donald Trump is actually encouraging violence. I mean, at his rallies, this is no lie. I mean, he's all on tape. Get him out of here. Knock him in the head. Beat him. And his hateful crowd, his hateful supporters, do what he says. Wow. And this is just crazy. Trump supporter punches protester at NC rally. And I quote, they're saying, "You better like it." We don't know if he's ISIS. Trump encourages violence, and his fans are listening. And I agree with one of the reporters. It won't be long before somebody is actually killed at a Trump rally, being bolstered by Donald Trump himself. Okay, Donald Trump campaign manager forcibly grabs a reporter and abuses her, allegedly. That's what it says here. But Donald Trump's campaign is denying that. Wow. And they have a debate tonight. This is going to come up in the debate. I would like to know how Donald Trump is going to answer this, that his rallies are just thuggish and criminal, and he is the one who is encouraging violence at his rallies, and his dumbass supporters are doing exactly what he's saying. This is crazy. This guy has really taken presidential politics to the lowest. He has taken presidential politics to the lowest. He's going to, you know what he's going to do tonight in the debate? I'm not going to watch it. I don't even watch these Republican debates no more. They're so stupid and silly and filled with childishness and crazy and crack and idiocy. I don't even watch these damn debates that they give anymore. But I have a feeling when Donald Trump is asked about his rallies being violent, he's going to find some way to spin it, lie, twist it, you know. and there's no doubt about it, that he's enabling all of this. It's right there on video. It's on tape. It's all over the screen. It's gone viral on the internet. So he cannot lie and say he does not encourage violence. It's right there. And I would like to, you know, after the debate is over, I'm not going to watch it. I'm going to probably hear about how he's trying to explain that, if there's any explanation to that at all. You know, from my understanding, most of these rallies, I've never been to a Trump rally, and I will never go to a Trump rally. A lot of these rallies I'm hearing are private rallies. They're private. Pays for everything. Security, he pays for the venue, everything. But you have to remember, Trump is seeking a public office. That makes him public. That makes him public. That makes him public. I mean, you know, this is crazy. This is crazy. All this violence, and the violence has always seemed to be against people of color, Mexicans, Muslims. Any of these people show up there at his rallies, especially if they're protesting. And I would say to people, if you go into a Donald Trump rally, please do not interrupt. You will be killed. Possibility, because violence at his rallies. His fans are listening. They are listening. And he's going to be here. I don't know. I don't know. It says here, Yasmin Alomari was standing in the press pen at a Donald Trump rally in Radford, Virginia, late last month when a man in the crowd called her a terrorist. Because she's a Muslim. She has a Muslim name, obviously. The slur didn't register, perhaps because Adam Marie, a 31-year-old Arab American, had heard it before, and or more likely because she was for Real Clear Politics, rarepolitics.com, sorry. It was another reporter who told about the epithet. 40 minutes later, the edges of the press pen to get a good angle for her Facebook feed. It happened again. Another man in the crowd walked by and motioned to a nearby police officer. Are you there for this terrorist? Oh, wow. This is crazy. This is crazy. She said she was spooked. You know, Donald Trump, you know, I do think that Donald Trump will make a better president than Ted Cruz. Donald Trump is less scarier. But his crowds at these rallies are just totally, totally over the top. This is totally over the top. What is wrong with Donald Trump? Why is he encouraging this? I don't know. And he wants to be president. This is sickening. This is sickening. He should be ashamed of himself for allowing his crowds, his rallies, the people at his crowds, the haters, the racists, the pigs, the clowns, the stupids, the low informational voter, all of these people at his rallies, the haters, to allow them to inflict harm on other people, even if they are protesters. This is not America, you know. So this is crazy. So we're going to be talking about this in and out. And I want to say something about Ken Duncan, who's running for a second or third term of his district in Illinois in the legislature. This is funny, folks. This guy, I mean, he's an asshole. What can I say? He's a total asshole. And I'm pretty sure some of the people in the legislature will say the same thing. He's bought and paid for by the Republican Bruce Rauner in the state of Illinois, and he's up for reelection on March 15th. From that March 15th, I've already voted early, so I voted against him. So now this guy is trying to—he's buying votes. President Obama came out against him. Now he's buying votes. He wants his job, even though he's a turncoat Democrat who voted with the Republicans times. His own party. So now he's up for re-election, and his re-election we'll know by Tuesday if he gets it or not. And I'm thinking he will not get it. He's an asshole. He shouldn't be in office. What did they find this guy? But anyway, he allegedly was caught buying votes. Allegedly. What I'm hearing is they have videotape of this. And the people who are investigating this are high-ranking Chicago officials. So this is not some fly-by-night accusations that I'm making here. This is being worked out as I'm speaking. I'm pretty sure they're talking to him. If they got dead proof for this, yet he's buying votes with cash, they're going to say, hey, wow. They're going to put him to the side, you know, and say, hey, wow, we got you on camera buying votes. That's illegal. That's corrupt. You either going to resign or not run for office, or we're going to take all of this to the press. So I'm pretty sure something like that is going on. I believe it is factual. This guy is a straight up asshole. And what I'm saying here is that he's out buying votes. Brand new, crisp, $50 bills to buy votes so he can retain his seat in the legislature. He's a representative who votes with the other side. And this is why people are going to vote him out, because he's a turncoat and he's an idiot. I mean, there's all kinds of negative things are being said about Ken Duncan in some of these campaign commercials. I mean, they say he doesn't pay child support. He appears to me to be a woman abuser, domestic abuser. He doesn't. So I don't think he's going to get this. He just may lose this election on the 15th in a landslide, because he's like so many of the politicians. They say one thing when they're running for office, when they're campaigning, but once they get into office, once they get into that power, they are someone else entirely. And that's one of the things I hate about politicians. They can come around, shake your hand, kiss your baby, saying everything they're going to do for you, how much they're going to bring back to your district. Once they elected, they start voting with the Republicans. And you tell yourself, well, I'll be goddamn. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. I will be right back.
Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago.
Yeah, something is going to have to be done. I mean, this is just crazy. I mean, this, if you heard me, we had a small interruption, but I'm hoping that we're back on the air. So this is Ken Duncan is crazy. I mean, this guy is a loony, and he should lose his job. And this should set an example for all those other Democrats out there who try to who try to take advantage of their constituency by voting against what their constituency want them, how they want them to vote. And this happens all the time. This happens all the time. Ken Duncan, he's out of there. He is totally, as for Anita Alvarez, the state's attorney in Illinois, I think she's toast also. I voted, but I didn't vote for her, and I didn't vote for Kim Fox, because Kim Fox, I mean, I've listened to her, I've read literature and all of this stuff on her and about her. She just doesn't make the grade for me. Okay, but everybody is saying that she's probably gonna oust Alvarez. I voted, but I voted for Moore, Donna Moore. She sounds more real. She sounds more capable than either one of them, actually, to me. So, folks, you're listening to George Wilder Jr. I'm here ranting about the Illinois politics. And I understand that Donald Trump is going to be in Illinois. He's going to be talking at the UIC. Hopefully nobody gets killed there. But Donald Trump, I mean, he should – I don't know, maybe he should be locked up or something, because he incites these things. You know, he incites these things. And it is awful. It is just awful. What can I say? You're listening to George Wilder of the George Wilder Jr. Show. Ladies and gentlemen, I will be right back. Stay where you are.
Welcome to the show. Our guest today is Heather Hart. She is an international best-selling author and award-winning author, and she works as an author.
All right, we're back. But another reporter did. I mean, this is crazy. But another reporter did. Okay, I'm reading something. The same event, a Secret Service staffer, I'm talking about Donald Trump and the violence at his rallies, grabbed a Time magazine photographer by the neck and slammed him into the table. This is crazy. All of this is happening at Donald Trump's rallies, grabbing a photographer by the neck and slammed him into the table. The veteran White House photographer Christopher Morris had stepped out of the press pen to get a better shot of the protesters. He later said that he regretted his role in the confrontation, but called the agenda response unnecessary violent. Racial slurs, nasty rhetoric, and violence at Trump rallies have become commonplace against protesters, bystanders, and reporters. Assaults are committed not only by rowdy Trump fans, but by the staff he employs to keep the events safe. But rather than denounce these incidents, Trump is making them part of his brand. He uses them to rev up the crowd. In other words, Trump is no better than the thugs that he employs to inflict violence on people in his crowds. People he doesn't like, people he doesn't want there. I'm quoting, there may be somebody with tomatoes in the audience. This is Trump. There may be somebody with tomatoes in the audience. Trump warned people at a rally in Iowa last month. If you see somebody getting ready to throw a tomato, knock the crap out of them. This is Trump talking. Seriously? Okay, just knock the hell out of them. I promise I will pay for the legal fees. Of course, I've seen that video. I've seen that clip. Him saying that he will pay for the legal fees. He's rich, but knock the hell out of him. I mean, this is crazy. This man is. Trump has even threatened to personally get involved into the action. He's personally said he's going to get involved on the action and help kick these people's ass. This is crazy. And this is a presidential candidate. And all Trump has done, if you really want to know, the people who are following him, as you might know, they're straight up racist. This old 78, this guy, one of his supporters, 78 years old, and said the next time he's going to kill them. This guy's in jail now, okay? They done locked him up for assault. They need to throw away the key with this guy. He's 78 years old and has so much hate in his heart. Can you believe that? And Trump just eggs them on. He's just as bad as his protesters. I don't care if it's a private event. I don't care if whatever. Violence at these rallies, at his rallies, are just over the top. Trump should be a little bit more serene. He should say something like, we can't have this here. This is not allowed. People are free to protest. But I understand what he's saying. Some people interrupt. But then again, there's a lot of people do not interrupt. There's nothing wrong with protesting. People come into his rallies, they start protesting and yelling and screaming and, you know, so, and they're interrupting his speech. So he's going to inflict violence on them. He's going to have someone in there to say, hey, wow, you know, it's just crazy. It's just crazy. But you know what? The guy's a winner. He's a winner, but I don't think and there are so many ads that the Republican establishment are running against Donald Trump. They are running so many ads. I can't turn on the television without seeing an anti-Donald Trump campaign ad. They are really coming after him. But the more they come after him, the more he wins. The people who are voting for him, they are the same as he is. Racist, violent, and ridiculous, totally uneducated, low informational voters, know nothing, and just plain old haters. You know, that's what they are. They're haters. I'm pretty sure they're going to talk about this tonight. I'm pretty sure Ted Cruz is going to jump on Donald Trump about the violence at his rallies. Marco Rubio is going to jump on Donald Trump about the violence at his rallies. Marco Rubio, John Kasich, they are going to jump in his ass about this. And I'm pretty sure he's going to deny everything. How can you deny what's on tape? How can you deny what's on television every night? How can you deny what is really going on at your rallies? So there, it's going to be interesting. Like I said before, I'm not watching the debate. I'm done with these guys. But I'm pretty sure we're going to see clips of it and portions of it as the days go on, because everybody wants to hear what Donald Trump has to say about the ongoing violence at his rallies. You know, this is not America. He should not be president. Neither should Ted Cruz. He should not even be the nominee. They're going to try to break his ass. But this is crazy. Wow. Okay, Hillary Clinton, I'm quoting her on her Twitter feed. This kind of behavior is repugnant. We set the tone for our campaigns. We should encourage respect, not violence. I totally agree with her, even though I'm not going to vote for her because I'm a Bernie person. But I totally agree with Hillary. This is crazy. Donald Trump should tell his crowd to calm down. This is not America. This is not what we do. We're here to try to win the presidency. We're not here to hurt people. We're not here to be violent. But he's the main culprit. He's the one telling them to go out and knock people out, throw tomatoes at people, throw people out, kick them in the face, because he said himself that he would like to do that. You know, I've lost all respect for Donald Trump. You know, I've just lost all respect for him. There are a couple of shows back, I said, well, Donald Trump will make a better president than Ted Cruz. Now I'm rethinking that. You don't want nobody in office with a mindset and temperament and violent as a Donald Trump. Donald Trump is an embarrassment. He's an embarrassment to the U.S. He's an embarrassment to itself. His supporters are loaded with nothing but racist, haters, low informational voters, gun owners who would blow your head off in a second and proudly go to jail. This is just crazy. I know I'm talking about Donald Trump, but like I said before, if you guys are listening to the show live, whether you're archiving it, I wonder if you're archiving it or whatever, you're listening to the on the internet. My guest Sherry Rickert will not be on the show tonight. She will not be here. she says she was in a car accident. It could be true. I don't know. You know, but I do know she will not be on the show tonight. And I'm sorry for that, for all you people who are out there waiting for her. You know, pretty sure she would have been a great guest, because I don't have anything on my show but great guests. So we're talking about the Donald Trump rally, his rallies, and how violent they are. Violent they are. Okay, here's a clip right here. Check this out.
The forcible removal of protesters from Trump rallies has become something of a feature of the Republican debate circuit and the race for the presidency, with the candidate himself very often condoning and encouraging the crowd to ever greater lengths to remove people who seem to be peacefully protesting what Trump is saying. Well, it reached new depths, or plunged really new depths today, with a protester, a black woman, an African-American woman, being forcibly removed by what seems to be a number of white supremacists, very unsavory type of people, removing her from a rally where she was protesting in Louisville, Kentucky. The video's been doing the rounds. I want to show it to you, and then we want to talk about it afterwards. Let's take a quick look.
Trump spoke for about 30 or so minutes, and when a protester did interrupt him, Trump would yell, "Get them out of here," and many were escorted out by police. Some protesters had signs that read, "Love Trump's hate."
So the woman in question is Shia Nwaguma, and she had this to say about it. She had a number of things to say, but when approached, she had the following. She said, "I was called and the N-word and a C-word, and I got kicked out. They were pushing and shoving at me, cursing at me, yelling at me, calling me every name in the book. They're disgusting and dangerous." I want to focus in and just draw every viewer's attention to the one guy. There was one guy there in a baseball cap that was a "Let's Make America Great," or whatever the slogan is, "Make America Great Again" slogan, right, from the Trump campaign. This guy, we believe, he is an individual called Matthew Heimbach. He is the head of a white supremacist group called the Traditionalist Worker Party. There's a picture of him. He's sitting in the driver's seat there with his girl, well, with a female friend, on his way to do something, protest some event. Let me show something else, another image that he's got from his Facebook page. Throw that up as well. Starts to give you a sense. His website, his Facebook, is littered with white supremacist, KKK, Nazi insignia, xenophobic, vicious, vitriolic, nasty. And these are the people that are gravitating towards Trump. We've talked about it a lot on this show, but it's reaching a critical point. And there's an article in the New York Daily News today where the journalist is speculating that it's only a matter of time until somebody, it might be a bit dramatic to say, but somebody dies at one of these rallies.
Yeah, and it's becoming a daily event. It's almost like part of the entertainment for the people going to these rallies. Like watching a Kid Rock video, you know, bobbing for hot dogs and beer keg tosses and pushing around the people of color. That's part of the game. It's admirable, the people who are choosing to go to these events, knowing that they're likely to elicit this kind of response. To me, it's an action. It's an action that they're taking that I think is necessary, and I admire them for doing that.
Absolutely. The other thing is, I just want to point out, is whilst Trump isn't necessarily or actively seeking endorsements or actively seeking to engage these people, directly, he certainly is condoning their behavior. And obviously, we've had the comments going around about the KKK and the fumble that he had there. The fact that so many people identify as white supremacists, the fact, again, I'm going to repeat the statistic, 16% of the voters who voted for him at South Carolina openly admitted, openly, when asked, openly admitted and identified as white supremacists. 16%. That's just who volunteered that information. When he says things like this at this rally, when there are a number of other people, she wasn't the only person there who was protesting. She was the one that was captured on film because she received such rough treatment. But there was the group of people who were protesting. They got identified, and this is what Trump said at the time. So he is basically the ringleader, if you like, calling the shots, dinging the bell from his pulpit, from his dais, directing the crowd, whipping them up, infusing them, energizing them, legitimizing their actions. This is what he said: "Don't hurt him. See, if I go get him, I get in trouble with the press, the most dishonest human beings in the world, the worst. If I say don't hurt him, the press say, well, maybe Trump isn't as tough as he used to be. Can you believe this?" So he is whipping them up, Mark.
Yeah, and by saying don't hurt him, he's saying hurt him. You know, his whole statement is talking about, God, I wish I could go over and hurt him, but we can't hurt him. Make sure we don't hurt him.
Right.
Get him out of here. Don't hurt him.
And to that point, I want to read one other quote that he said in Nevada recently. He said, "You know what I hate? There's a guy, totally disruptive, throwing punches," which he wasn't, "but we're not allowed to punch back anymore. In the old days, you know what they used to do with guys like that when they're in a place like this? They'd be carried out on a stretcher, folks." This guy's running for president.
Yeah.
He has a responsibility. He has an accountability. These people are gravitating towards him, Mark, and it is so fundamentally troubling and so fundamentally not baffling, but it is just evil on a level that is really difficult to identify.
He doesn't care. He doesn't care what you think. His people don't care. We'll get people on with
they
the comments.
Sure don't.
The Trump
don't
trolls.
Care.
They're
they
not our normal
damn.
Viewers. They're trolls who go online and make comments. We'll see those comments. And they'll be like, "Oh my God, look at these guys. They're totally anti-Trump." Guess what? Yeah. I am totally anti-Trump. I don't give a fuck what you think. I know I'm, you know, supposed to be partial. I'm not. I can't be impartial to somebody who's a racist and a fascist.
And this is the thing. This is the thing, which seems to have escaped mainstream media. It's when people are saying when his supporters, when his advocates have to come out and say, "Well, he's not a racist." Anybody, he's running for president. Anybody who has to come out and say, "Oh, but hang on a second, I'm not a racist." The fact that you even have to have that conversation tells you how far you've trodden from the path, how far you've gone wrong, and how troubling your candidacy is, and how troubling it is the fervor that you're whipping up. And he knows, he's very savvy, of course. He knows where his base lies, and he knows that that's that critical crust of votes that are going to get him there, which is why he's dancing. He danced around the KKK thing and then tried to distance himself from it. And why he is not unreservedly condemning this type of activity at his rallies.
It's a runaway train. He doesn't condemn it because that's not how he feels. He doesn't care. His supporters don't care. They are what they are. They're not apologetic about it. And they're just hoping that there's more than 50% of them in the country who's going to get out and vote. They don't care. It's so far gone. There's no talking around it anymore. It has to motivate people to get out to the polls to vote against that.
And it's fear based, and we saw it in Nazi Germany. And again, I know we're going to get hit for this, and it's going to. But it has to be said, because any right minded thinking person cannot agree with this. Cannot when you see that video. It is unacceptable in any forum, least of all when you're running for the presidency.
Yeah, that was great. That was great. That summed it up. But at every at every Trump rally, somebody is being roughed up with Trump egging them on. That's a damn shame. This is a presidential race. This is not some mob action. But that seems like what we have at his rallies. This is crazy. And I keep saying it. His supporters are made up of racists, pigs, white supremacists, thugs, just like Donald Trump is. And I'm just about on board with the people who are trying to take him down to keep him from getting that nomination. It's awful. Like I said before, in the debate that they're having tonight, which is March. This is March 10th, and they are on television as I speak. But like I said at the beginning of the show, I'm not watching it. I will never watch another Republican debate. It's a waste of time. These people are racist. Their supporters are racist. They're violent. Their supporters are violent. This is America. But they're not being American. Condone this. No GOP candidate should condone the kind of actions that are taking place at a Donald Trump rally. And then you've got African Americans supporting Trump. And the way he treats peaceful protesters who are African American at his rallies, that's totally racist. Trump's a billionaire. He's going to get him a few house niggas. He's a billionaire. He's going to buy some of these African Americans off to keep their mouth shut. He's going to buy them off whereas they're going to support him because he wants African American votes. But you hardly ever see an African American at his rallies. If you see African Americans at a Trump rally, more likely they're protesters, peaceful protesters. Peaceful protesters. All right, let's move right along. I think we've done enough on Donald Trump. I just might come back to the topic of Donald Trump later because the violence going. We really cut that. Okay, let's talk about voting against in Illinois. Talk about voting against Ken Duncan, D-U-N-K-I-N. Because this guy is a turncoat. Instead of being a vote for Democrats, which he is a Democrat, he's a vote for the Republicans. And that's one of the reasons why his ass is going to be out of there. I just got through telling you folks that he's allegedly buying the election. Okay, they tell me that they have proof. They have video proof of, and I think four people infiltrated this. His campaign, and you know, and they picked up some of the money, the $50 bills, crisp, brand new, that he's giving out to his constituency or people in his district to vote for him. This is crazy. Obviously, he knows without that money, giving that money out, that he probably will not he will not get his job back as a state representative in the state of Illinois. But how dumb can you be? That is dumb. If that's happening, and I think it is, how dumb can you be, Ken Duncan? You know, I mean, let's say you won't win, but let's say even if he did win, his ass will be indicted and on his way to jail and be labeled another corrupt official in the state of Illinois behind bars. This is what's going to happen. And I think, matter of fact, I know Rauner is going to be going next because he's a governor. He's a corrupt governor. I mean, anytime you don't have a state budget for your state for 9 months, that's corruption. You're not doing your damn job. And obviously, Ken Duncan and Governor Bruce Rauner, they're hand in hand in this. But I believe now that Governor Bruce Rauner knows that Ken Duncan is in a lot of trouble. And obviously he's going to try and distance himself from Ken Duncan. You know, but this is something. This guy's using money. Bruce Rauner bought the election, but he used gift cards. Okay? Gift cards. Protege, Democrat, Ken Duncan, he's using crisp $50 bills. I mean, it's so funny. You got to laugh to buy off votes. And I'm hearing it's on tape. Another campaign infiltrated his campaign, the Duncan campaign, and they got themselves a few of those crisp $50 bills to say, this is proof that he's trying to buy the election. And if this is true, that Ken Duncan used $50 bills, crisp $50 bills to give to voters so they can vote for him, he's in a lot of trouble. I mean, we're talking about jail time. We're talking about jail time. So this is another incident, another claim that is crazy. This is
there is some competition. It's crazy, tonight, folks. For Illinois Representative Ken Duncan, the rogue Democrat, has ruffled the feathers of establishment politicians by supporting Governor Rauner and also missing key votes on some bills that were supported by Democrats. Here's Eyewitness News political reporter Charles Thomas.
The endorsers included powerful Chicago Democrats, the Secretary of State, County Board President, and assorted aldermen. They were here to support attorney Juliana Stratton, who's running in the March primary to replace State Rep Ken Duncan, the 7-term incumbent.
Right now, the people of this district do not have a voice in the State House.
During the past year, Duncan has taken key votes against Democratic House Speaker Michael Madigan, denying Madigan by a single vote the Democratic supermajority needed to override Republican Governor Bruce Rauner's vetoes.
We did not elect Ken to go and represent the Republicans. Now, if he wants to wear the shirt, I think he needs to change his seat.
When Juliana saw Representative Duncan continually side with Republican Governor Bruce Rauner, she knew she had to stand up.
Duncan, who has raised $750,000 from pro-Rauner political action committees, wrote, "The voters of the 5th District are tired of these career politicians who are offering no solutions, no plan, just more politics, which has gotten the state in this mess."
Mike Madigan, slave master, cannot pick our politics for us.
Outside the Stratton News Conference, demonstrators alleged that Speaker Madigan, angry at Duncan, orchestrated Stratton's candidacy.
I say she's a sellout. She's a puppet because she ain't talked to people on the ground. She ain't been out in the trenches.
Asked about allegations she's tied to Madigan, Stratton would not answer. She pivoted and repeated what sounded like her campaign's mantra.
Representative Duncan has clearly aligned himself with the Republican Governor Bruce Rauner.
Stratton says she's proud of her support from public sector unions that represent state workers and Chicago teachers. They'll help raise money for the challenger in what could be one of the most expensive state rep races in Illinois. In the media center, Charles Thomas, ABC 7 Eyewitness News.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our times. This is the talk of our times on Block Talk Radio, the Wilder Network.
All right. Welcome back. Let's move right along. The violence in Chicago is just at an all-time high. The violence in this town is just an all-time high. It's just heartbreaking. I mean, I can't talk about one incident, one fatal shooting over another fatal shooting because there are so many. There are so many. What are we going to do about, obviously, the police? They don't have a clue of how to stop this violence. walking up to people on the street and shooting them in the head, walking up to someone sitting in their car and killing them, walking into a business, robbing a business and shooting the clerk. This is happening. That and more is happening every single night and every single day in the city of Chicago and elsewhere. What is it that the police, who get paid a lot of money, can't seem to solve these crimes? And a lot of these perpetrators of these crimes are still free. Killers on the loose. They're still out here. These guys' crimes, and they're not caught. A day or so ago, at an outside party, an outside get-together, barbecue or something, there were lots of people. Suddenly, they were ambushed. You might have heard it. They were ambushed. Five people were killed. And I've said this before. Wherever there's a congregation of people, there might be carnage. Five people were killed, and the bad guys are still out there. There's a manhunt for these people. There's a manhunt for killers in all, just about every state. Some of these guys get away, and they're never caught. If they're never caught, they're free to kill again and again and again. The police can't seem to stop it, solve it, nor can they seem to catch these guys to keep them from repeating their bloodless, bloody acts. This show is here to try to make the world a better place, but I don't know. I don't know if we can do that. It is just so violent. Even when I go out, leave my studio or leave my apartment, I'm looking over my shoulder. I'm looking in front of me. I'm looking on the side. You know, so you just have to keep yourself safe. Violence is everywhere. You never know if you go to the store. You never know if you're going to make it back home alive. It's just horrible, the violence in the city of Chicago. It's escalating. It's not de-escalating. It's escalating. It's going up. It's rising. It's increasing. And all the police departments can say, well, we don't, basically, if I interpret them, they're saying, well, we don't know what's going on. We don't know. We just don't know. Well, then why don't you quit your job and let somebody take that same job? Maybe they have some ideas on lowering or eradicating crime in the city of Chicago. It's pathetic that crime is on an increase. I believe, actually, that Chicago is the most violent city in the United States. I didn't want to say that. I tried to dodge it, but reality bites. What can I say? All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, and we're just going to give you a small sample of what's going on in Chicago. Here we go.
Chicago was always a violent place, you know what I'm saying? As time go on, it just got more and more violent because the attitude, shit, changed to now everybody don't get no fuck. Don't nobody give a fuck, and with ain't no leaders out here, ain't nobody accountable for their actions. You can do what the fuck you want, basically, you know what I'm saying? So without no repercussions, without no leaders telling you sit your ass down or beating your ass for doing something out of order, you know what I'm saying? So niggas just do what the fuck they want to do.
Got you. You ready?
Rolling.
I'm from the South Side. I grew up, born, raised here. I've been shot like 30 times with this gangbang and shit. Everybody knows. Yes, the music is got a little bit to do with all the violence, because you got to remember,
this, all these guys that's making music now were gang members first. Before y'all even heard of them or whoever they is or whoever their name may be, they was gangbanging here. And this is how this city designed. You're going to be something or you ain't going to be nothing.
All the gang chiefs away. They took the structure. When they took the structure away, man, we developed a systematic I call it a systematic uproar, man. It's a systematic uproar, man. It's a systematic downfall, man. They put a glitch in our computer chip when they took all the gang chiefs. You know what I'm saying? Oh, they took the projects. They took the gang chiefs first. Then they took the projects. You know what I'm saying? So, okay, we're going to take their structure, then we're going to put them out in the ghettos and let them kill themselves so we can go and clean them off the streets. And this shit ain't no movie, though. It's real life. We living this shit, man. It's Taliban, Al-Qaeda shit is going on over here. And we in war with each other, man. It's like, so, we don't give no fuck about nobody else.
I was caught at a gas station, and what they call lacking, on 67 Cottage Grove. Person ran up on my car, shot all up in the car, hit me 7 times. On my stomach, my neck, my jaw, my hand, my back, almost hit like 2 inches away from my spine. Like, it was crazy. I was in the hospital for maybe a month. Lost massive weight. I weighed like 90 pounds afterwards. Like, had to recover therapy. Like, it was crazy, man. Like, it's hectic out here for real. Like, when I talk about Chicago, like, it's really like that here. Like, it's living proof.
My name is Valerie Kyles from Chicago, Illinois, outside our building at 5110 South King Drive. I was the mother of a son that was gunned down. I really can't comprehend why they're still happening, but something is missing for the young men. These kids have no hope. They don't care if they die, some of them. But you need to have a hope and teach your sons hope that they can live and be men, productive.
We pulled up on the scene and shit. We think we was gonna jump out and shit, and we was gonna beat their ass at first, you know what I'm saying? Like, we was gonna start fighting, and then if somebody would jump, I was gonna get to shooting at a motherfucker, you feel me? But shit, before a motherfucker even get out the car, you know what I'm saying? Motherfucker, all you just hear is just, you know what I'm saying? You hear it, pop, 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 you know what I'm saying? They shoot the car up, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know what I'm saying? My homie rushed me to the hospital, stopped at the light and shit, tied me up, you feel me, with a sweater, you feel me? And then, you know what I'm saying, my father walked in the hospital and blanked out, you know what I'm saying? Shit, yeah, yeah, I got popped in the head. Real shit, man. This shit is real out here, man. 15 years old. No flies in, bro. Feel me? This shit is deep, yo. You know what I'm saying?
Chicago is my fun. Y'all right, everybody's scared to come to that. Everybody's scared to come to Chicago. You know, it's a war zone in Chicago. Like, 10 years, I want to be big house. My family out the hood, ain't got to worry about nothing. Sleep good and I ain't got to worry about nothing being shot at, none of that.
Growing up in Chicago, it was like good and bad. I had a lot of fun, but it's kind of dangerous having fun. First thing I remember is being arrested when I was a shorty. Like, that changed when I became a part of the system and shit. You know what I'm saying? I was locked up, I think like four bags of crack. I was like 13, feel me? So once I became a part of the system, kind of fucked me up, because it was like in and out after that. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people don't got the privilege of having a mother in their life or their father in their life. Some people, mama crackhead, you feel me? Daddy might never not been there. You know what I'm saying? So as soon as that inside household situation go bad, that's when you become an adult, aside from what you're doing outside of that.
Idle time is the devil's playground. When you're doing something with your time, then you can survive. But when you're not doing nothing with your time and you just out here with these and just every other thug, then you're going to get a thug lifestyle. You know what I'm saying? If you own bullshit, bullshit happens. You think about it, you win this bullshit, bullshit happens. You know what I'm saying? No dead grows. You know? And that's all. You know?
Okay, are we on the air? Let's see. All righty.
The forcible removal of protesters from Trump rallies has become something of a feature of the Republican debate circuit and the race for the presidency, with the candidate himself very often condoning and encouraging the crowd to ever greater lengths to remove people who seem to be peacefully protesting what Trump is saying. Well, it reached new depths.
All right, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Look me up on Facebook, Blog Talk Radio. I'm on Amazon.com. I have a lot of work up there. Check that stuff out. And you know what? I want to say something about Blog Talk Radio. I've been with Blog Talk Radio for almost 2 years. In August, it'll be 2 years. And so far, I've stayed with them this long, even though I have been, people were trying to get me to leave and go over to their show or their company or their radio show or their radio station or radio network or whatever. People were trying to get me to leave. And I told myself, no, I'm not going anywhere. I talked to my son. I said, we're not going anywhere. Stay right here. You know, because one of the reasons why I wanted to stay right here, I didn't have time to learn another system, another way of doing things, because I had so many guests that are being booked on the show and looking forward to being to the show and an audience out there with expectations. Because I'm still building my audience here. And when you build an audience, you have to be sincere to that audience or you will lose it. Lose them. And it really takes time to build an audience. And I'm still building an audience or trying to build an audience. There are so many other internet radio stations that I could be a part of. I don't have to be here at Blog Talk Radio. I'm footing the bill. I don't need to be controlled. I don't need to be told what to do and not to do it. I do what I want to do here. I know the system here. At least I thought I did. But somehow they have changed a few things on me. Block Talk Radio have changed some things. Things are not as easy or as accessible as they used to be on Block Talk Radio right here. And I'm pissed. I'm angry. I have no problem leaving Block Talk Radio and going somewhere else, taking my talent, taking my audience, taking my expertise, taking my show, and taking my money. I tried calling them. There's no answer. I tried contacting them over the internet. I haven't heard anything yet. But I don't like what they've done. You know, I don't like what they've done. I don't see where I don't see where my guest can archive this program. I know my guests can download it. I know you guys can listen live, but some things have changed. And I'm trying to get hold of Block Talk Radio, the official support, to try to explain to me what the hell's going on. Because I have no problem leaving. You know, I'll just take what I've created over to somewhere else. You know, so I guess what I'm telling my audience is the George Wilder Jr. Show may not be on Block Talk Radio anymore unless someone comes up with some answers for me. So I'm letting you know this. I'm going to say this every day that I don't hear from Block Talk Radio about what they've just done. I know I'm not being specific, but I don't want to be too specific because I need to know what's being done. And once I find out, I'm going to tell you guys. I'm going to be right here with my audience, with my listeners, telling you what happened. I have no problem. And if I end up leaving Block Talk Radio, it will not be the end of George Wilder Jr. Show. It will not be. It will be just starting. But they have to tell me something. I got to know something. I have to, because like I said, it's my money, it's my time, it's my effort, it's my abilities. This audience that I have gotten, I've gotten them on my own. Block Talk Radio has not gotten me one person to listen to my show. I'm the one who gets the people to listen to my show. I'm the one who books the guests for the show. I'm the one who have to go out seeking for guests to be on this show. Not Block Talk Radio. I'm the one who's putting the bill for this show. Not Block Talk Radio. So if they come up with some kind of weird changes that's going to make things a lot difficult for me, and a lot difficult for my audience, I'm out of here, period. Bingo. But until I hear otherwise, they have to explain things to me, let me know. I'm not here to learn another system, but for a system I prefer because I already know what's going on. My audience knows. So I don't know if this will be my last month on the show or if I should continue. It all depends on Block Talk Radio because I am not here to be controlled. I am not here for things to be made a lot worse because my show is successful, because my show has guests, because I'm good at what I do. That's what people do. When they find out that you're good at what you do, they try to horn in on that because they want something from that. You will get nothing from this except for what I foot this bill for. All right, you're listening to the Talk About Times on the George Wilder Jr. Show. These things have to be done. It has to be done because that's what happens. People try to horn in on what you are doing. because they want a piece of it, even though they have nothing to do whatsoever with anything, one iota of making your show successful. Like I said, I have no problem leaving Block Talk Radio. I don't really, you know, it doesn't bother me. But don't make things more difficult for me, especially when I'm used to it being just elementary, kind of, if I want to say that. Or explain to me. You know, because I don't really know. If I wind up leaving Block Talk Radio, so be it. There's a whole host of internet radio out there. All right, this is George Wilder Jr. I'm very upset. I'm disappointed in Block Talk Radio. Things that were easy, simple, have gotten a lot more technical, harder, without explaining, without letting me know what's going on. You know, so that's what's going to happen. I'm going to wind up leaving if I don't get some straight answers. Okay? All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. I'm fuming. But, you know, it's fun. I love it. I love every minute of it. I love my guests. I'm gonna be taking you guys with me. If I got to get out of here, I got to get out of here. All right, I'll be right back. Stay with me, everybody.
Hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Hey everybody, this is Lisa Orell, the Promote You Guru. You can learn more about me by reading my little bio right down there somewhere on my channel page. You'll have to forgive me for the casualness of my attire, no makeup, no hair done, just a ponytail and a visor because it is a very warm, hot, sunny day here in San Jose, California. And after I'm done with this short how-to video, I am going in the backyard, jumping in the pool, and firing up the barbecue. So, that's just the way I'm rolling today. Here we go. 10 tips on how you can sell your book or sell more of your books on Amazon, whether you're a self-published author or whether you're a traditionally published author. Doesn't matter, as long as your book's on Amazon, these tips will help you, okay? Some of these tips I did glean from a great book that I highly recommend, written by Brent Sampson, and there you go. Let me get over here a little bit more. How to sell more books on Amazon. I highly recommend picking that up. The tips I'm going to go through, the 10 tips, are going to be very quickly. I'm not going to give you the ins and outs of the hows and whys. That's why something like Brent's book was created. He gives you all those details, or you can just research them on your own. But I'm just going to make you aware of a couple of these things so that you can potentially implement them and go for it. And I will tell you that quite a few of these tips I have shared with my author clients who I help handle the PR, publicity, and marketing strategies for, and they have found a definite uptick in their book sales. And I personally, with the books I've written, have seen them as well. So they work. Okay, let's go. Tip number one, start an Amazon Connect account. Again, look into Amazon and check out the Amazon Connect account feature. Number two, definitely create an author profile page. Okay, again, a lot of people just go and put their book on Amazon to sell it, and they don't use the other bells and whistles that Amazon has to offer. Again, one of them being the author profile page. Make sure you set one up for yourself. On your author profile page, make sure that you upload a professional photo, and in the caption under that photo, you can state your name, your title, your book title, links to your website, all that fun stuff, your contact info, as well as set up your email signature for any postings that you do within Amazon. Like if you write a book review for someone else, it will show up, and that helps cross-promote you. Okay? Number four, tip number four. Complete the About Me info on the author profile page. The reason for that is that you get to load it with a bunch of keywords and phrases that show up in search results. Okay, kind of like having a LinkedIn profile. The more information you put on your profile, the better the chances are that you and your book are going to get found. Number five, Amazon offers a feature called the So You'd Like To Guides. Again, they're called the So You'd Like To Guides. They're like little mini ebooks. You can write those on basic topics in and around your expertise and your book. They will help drive traffic to your book page on Amazon. Number six, make sure that you implement the Search Inside feature that Amazon offers. That enables people to look at your table of contents, perhaps read your intro, and maybe even see a sample of of one of your chapters. So make sure that you implement the Search Inside feature. It's a very, very powerful tool. Okay. Number seven, I want you to check out Amapedia. Like Wikipedia, but it's Amapedia, and that is Amazon's internal wiki. So you can start your own posts and topics about things around your book and topics of your area of expertise and show up in the Amapedia, A-M-A-P-E-D-I-A, right? Again, like Wikipedia, and that will help drive traffic to your book page as well, okay? Tip number eight is write as many book reviews for other people as you can, and especially make sure that you do them for your competitors, anybody who's written a book that's similar to yours. And I'm not saying go on there and trash them and write a bad review, even if their book was great. This is not about going in and sabotaging your competition. It's every time you write a book review for someone, your name, your book title, a link to your book page, and your basically like e-signature will show up with information about you. Keeping in mind one important thing, if someone was interested enough to go to their book page and potentially buy their book, it means they're interested in the same topic matter that you wrote about. So write as many book reviews as you possibly can, and possibly they will turn around and do the same thing for you. It also helps with traffic building. Okay. Number nine, use the Tag This Product feature on your book's detail page. Again, I'm not going to get into the ins and outs of all this stuff, but make sure you look into the Tag This Product feature. Okay. Last one, number 10, look into Amazon's List Mania feature. It's where you can create lists of books that you like, and always including your book in there at some point. I won't go into all the details about it, but again, look into the List Mania feature because it will help drive traffic to your book page and could potentially get a lot more buyers for you, and people will be looking at the books you list, and if you've listed them on your List Mania list, some of them might turn around and list you on their List Mania list, and it keeps going and going and going. So again, those are quick 10 tips on how you can potentially sell more of your books on Amazon. I hope you found them very, very helpful. I know that I have. So time for me to go jump in the pool and fire up the barbecue. Enjoy the rest of your day, and cheers, and happy marketing. Bye-bye.
All right, that was a little bit for those who are out there listening. You got books and you need reviews for your book, which are on Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, and elsewhere. Okay, I hope you, we all need reviews. We all need book reviews, especially if we are authors. And I want to give a shout out to my latest story, which is called Elder Abuse and the Old Man. Elder Abuse and the Old Man. You can find that story, and it's a riveting story. It's a great story. It's a riveting story. I had, like, just like everything else I've done, I've had fun writing it. It's a riveting story. I think it will touch your heart, and you would want to read everything that I've written so far. And also, Mary, rest in peace. That's another story that will touch your heart. I mean, I'm a great writer. What can I say? Check out those two short stories and give me a review. Tell me how you feel. If you don't think I'm a great writer, go ahead and say it. I'm not going to take it personally. After writing for so many years and being accepted by so many publishing outlets, you know, you got to tell yourself you must be doing something right. And if you are a great writer, do not be afraid to say that you are a great writer. You know, because if you're a great writer, then your writing must be great. I mean, writing is hard. It is totally hard, and it is something that you a lot of people are making a living at writing. That's no doubt about that. They are making a living, but there are so many people out there who are not. Writing is not easy, especially when it comes to making a living at it. I think to make a living at writing, you have to be really versatile in the things. You got to write for so many genres and so many publications. It's like being a freelance writer. You're just going to write everything for every, because you got a lot of companies out here. They're advertising. They need writers. They need writers, you know, because a lot of them can't write or can't put it in a way where it's sellable. So, you know, a lot of people are writers, freelance writers. So that's one of the ways to make a living at writing, because I've interviewed a lot of people on this show who are actually making a living at writing. You can do it too. Make a living. If you're getting paid for something, it's not a hobby. Okay? Because we all want to get paid for our work. I mean, when I first started out writing, I wanted to make a living at writing, and I'm still trying to make a living doing it, but it's fun. It's great. And I want to say to everybody out there, thanks for downloading and archiving my work, which keeps me wanting to do it. And I will continue to do it. Okay, we're going to open our eyes right now. Oh, we got that clip? There we go.
Father,
right. Welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We got a couple of minutes into the show. I'm going to be off Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Regrouping. I'm on four days a week, folks. Monday through Thursday, 6 o'clock to 7:30, sometimes 8 o'clock on Block Talk Radio. If I don't wind up leaving because I'm pissed off, Block Talk, the people at Block Talk Radio, I guess the officials have changed the format of the show, changed some things in the show, like the dashboard and the statistics. You know, where you can tell how many people are downloading your show, where you can tell how many people are listening to your show, or, you know, the rating system, basically. And I'm pissed off about that. They're going to have a lot of explaining to do to me, or I'm going to be leaving the show. But before I leave the show, I'm going to let everybody know where I'm going. So you guys can come along with me. If you love the show, if you love the George Wilder Jr. Show. All right, I'm about out of here. I'll see you guys Monday at the same time, starting at 6, and hopefully my guests will show up this time. I want to say that Sherry Rickard, my guest for today, she was in an accident, a car accident. That's why she did not show up. For all of you who are looking for her, I apologize. But join me next week, starting Monday. It'll be a whole new week at the George Wilder Jr. Show, and we should have some great guests. All right. Thanks. See you then. Bye-bye. Okay, all right.